Well, let's go to the look of the Word of God today. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 18. Proverbs 18, we begin a new series today called The Name, and talking about the names of God. The things that the name of God helps us to discover who God is. And so this morning we're going to talk about Jehovah God, God the Father, and what His name means to us. So we're going to have some kind of teaching moments in this message this morning. But I pray as we begin this series that we walk away from these messages on Sunday morning with an understanding of how great a God is, the God is that we serve. We serve an awesome and mighty God. Amen? And that's what we want to discover even more in these Sunday morning messages. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 10. Would you stand out of respect for the Word of God? Simply one verse this morning. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Father, we ask your blessing over the Word of God today, that you would teach us who you are. Teach us, Lord, about the greatness of God and the greatness of your name, that in your name we can accomplish mighty things. I pray, Lord, for your anointing upon the Word of God this morning. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and praise. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, there's something about a name. When you hear certain names, you kind of look upon that name with disgust. And others, it brings delight. Whenever I say the name Osama bin Laden, all of us in this room don't have a very good picture what that name brings to us. But if I were to say the name Billy Graham, you would think maybe something a lot better than it was with Osama. You see, names, when we hear those names, it brings out either the best or the worst in a person. And a name should bring delight to us whenever we hear that name. I remember in my ninth grade year in high school, in Coach Moss's history class, every time he would call this one girl's name, it would bring delight to my heart. She sat on the second seat, on the right-hand side, right next to the wall, and every time he would call out her name, my heart would just kind of leap a little bit. Fortunately, her name is Sonia. Amen? Every time he called her name, it just made my heart pitter-patter, and it took me 4 years to even ask her out because I was so nervous, and she had a boyfriend that had a car, and I was riding a skateboard. You know what I mean? But whenever I heard her name, every time I heard her name, it made my heart leap. And it still does. Because names bring delight to us, or they should be bring us delight. And that's the way it is with the name of God. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, how wonderful, how hallowed is the name of the Father. That whenever we call out the name of the Father, it should bring delight to us, and because it characterizes who God is. Friends, the name of the Father is something awesome. I know in our modern society, a father can be good or bad, but when it comes to the Heavenly Father, His name is hallowed, His name is wonderful, His name brings to us delight if we will only call upon His name. Because everything that God is wrapped up within His name. We can discover God's portion, God's provision, God's power, God's promises, all whenever we look at the name of God. That's why the book of Proverbs says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. Friends, the name of God provides for us a refuge. Throughout the New Testament especially, it talks about how we as believers can call upon the name of the Lord. He says, anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Quite a few years ago, Josh had this best friend when we lived in Jacksonville, Texas. His name was Tyler. And Tyler was kind of a comical kid. Tyler, he was kind of from a tough home life, and so he lived two doors down from us. And Tyler was over at our house every day, every evening. We fed him almost every day. And Tyler was just a joy to our lives. Well, we took him out to eat one night with Josh, and we come and pull into the garage, and my car is sitting right next to this car. And Tyler opens up the door, and he throws the door open. And it smashes my car and leaves a big dent in my door. And without hesitation, Tyler says, oh, don't worry, my dad can fix it. And when I think about that, how much trust and faith he put in his dad, it's the same way we put in our Heavenly Father. Don't worry, my Heavenly Father can fix it. Whatever our life has, whatever needs we have in our life, friend, we can know that God can fix whatever problems we have, and God will be there for you and I. Everybody with me this morning? And so this morning, as we begin the name series, we're going to look at the name of the Father for a couple of weeks, the name of the Son, Jesus, and then also the names of the Holy Spirit. And throughout this series, it's for us to have a discovery of who God is and who God is to us. So let's look first at what's in a name. What's in a name? God's names are holy, and they should always be recognized. God's names are holy, and they should always be recognized. When we look at the Word of God, there are several different names for the Father, Father God in the Old Testament. And the first one of those is Elohim. Elohim was one of the first names of God in the Word of God. It's used over 2,300 times in the Old Testament alone. Elohim comes from the Hebrew root meaning strength or power, and it has this unusual characteristic to the name in that it is plural. That in the beginning, Elohim, God, created the heavens and the earth. Because Elohim was plural, it shows to you and I that we truly believe in one God in three persons. Elohim, plural, is the power of God, the strength of God, the majesty of God, wrapped up together in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are all active and operating at the creation of the world. Elohim, Elohim God, is who we call upon because of who He is and the characteristics of God that are defined by His name. And then there's also another name for God. It's the root word for Elohim. And it simply is a Spanish, it's like a Spanish word, the word El, the name El. The name El was given to God, and it was a descriptive emphasis of the power of God. It was used 200 times in the Old Testament, and use it like this: El Yisrael, the God of Israel, El Elyon, the Most High God, or Emmanuel, God with us. And those are the two names of God. But the most important, not, I don't want to say the most important, but the most prominent name of God in the Old Testament is Jehovah or Yahweh. Jehovah is used over 7,000 times in the Old Testament. And it's where we get our names of God: Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, all these different names of God that are wrapped up in the name of Jehovah. But the name of Jehovah was so much more powerful and so much more sacred than any of the other names of God. Jehovah comes from the Hebrew word or verb to be. And it literally means the existing one. Exodus 3, 14 and 15 says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, and this is how I am to be recalled for all generations." The name of Jehovah, the I am, the existing one, was extremely sacred in the Old Testament. Among the Orthodox Jews, the observant Jews, they took the name of Jehovah very seriously. So much so that often they would not repeat the name of Jehovah because it was so sacred. They believed also that you couldn't write, they were afraid to write out the name Jehovah as an Orthodox Jew because it was against the Old Testament law to deface or erase the name of God. So they took great care in making sure they didn't write it down so somebody else could come back and erase it or deface the name of God, and they'd be guilty of breaking the law of God. In fact, after 200 AD, the Jews stopped pronouncing the name out of fear of breaking the commandment that we shall not take the Lord our God's name in vain. And that's where you hear the term Adonai. They use Adonai instead of Jehovah because they're afraid to use the name of Jehovah. Why am I telling you all of this? Because there's power in the name of God, and we ought to revere and fear the name of God as well. Have you ever been reading some different writings and you notice there's the name of God and it has a dash in the middle, G-D? Anybody ever seen that? That's because the Hebrews in the English language did not want to write out the whole name of God because it was sacred. And what I find is interesting to me, and I think it ought to be interesting to you, is that the Old Testament Jews and the observant Jews took that much care about the name of God, but yet today it's used often as an expletive. We don't revere the name of God like we used to. And I believe as you and I, as children of God, that we ought to hold high the name of God and who He is to us and the power that He has working in our lives, that we ought to call upon God with reverence and fear. And that's where we come to the place of learning His names. If you have your Bible, go over to Genesis chapter number 22. And let's look at several of the names of God this morning. Genesis 22 and verse number 14. We look first at who is Jehovah Jireh. Who's Jehovah Jireh? One of my least favorite songs of the 80s was that song, Jehovah Jireh. Anybody remember that song? It wasn't because of the name of God. It was just the song in itself. Amen. But let's not go into all that today. Jehovah Jireh. Who's Jehovah Jireh? Verse number 14 in Genesis chapter number 22. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Jehovah Jireh literally means the Lord, the existing one, will see or provide. The existing one will see or provide. Here we have the story of Abraham, and God tells Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Abraham had a son by one of the concubines, Hagar, and it was his son Ishmael. So he was kind of a son, but he was not the favored son or the chosen son or the son that God had planned for the children of Israel. Isaac was that one that Abraham and Sarah had late in life. He was 99 and she was 90, and now they have Isaac, who was the chosen one of God. They'd been waiting for Isaac for many years so that Abraham could have an heir to all that he had. And God on one day talks to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. And so Abraham takes Isaac and they travel to the mountain. He's got Isaac, he's got some firewood, he's got a torch. And Isaac's kind of wondering, well, Dad, we got all these other things for a sacrifice, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, on his way up the mountain, would say to Isaac, Isaac, God will provide. God will provide. We think it's kind of crazy for God to even ask Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. But if you really think about it, in the pagan nations of that day, it was customary to sacrifice their children or have human sacrifices. And what God was wanting from Abraham was to know if he was willing to have as much love and passion for the Almighty God as the pagan nations had for the false gods. Now let me just say this, that we don't believe in sacrifices like this. This was a test. This was a test for Abraham. And Abraham was willing to do anything that God had asked him to do. They get to the mountain. He ties up Isaac. He places him upon the altar that he's built. And he's getting ready to sacrifice Isaac when the angel of the Lord comes and says, stop. And just as he hears that, he hears something rustling in the thicket. And there is the ram that God was providing for the sacrifice. And Isaac was spared. And it was that moment that Abraham called that place, the Lord provides, Jehovah Jireh. It's the only place that we find this name in the Word of God. And it was the place where God made provision for Abraham. He truly believed that God would come through. And that was the place that God provided for Abraham. Friend, can I tell you that Jehovah Jireh was in the Old Testament, but He's still Jehovah Jireh today. Whatever you have need of, He is able to provide it. In the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh provided the manna throughout the wandering in the wilderness. He provided Moses water out of a rock to give to the Israelites. He provided them the spoils of Egypt as they left the prison and the enslavement of Egypt. And as they came into the promised land, God had brought them together with all these spoils. And they were extremely wealthy when they were entering the promised land. Friend, God is a provider for you and I. And what we have to understand is that just because we look at the Jehovah Jireh, the Old Testament, doesn't mean He's not the provider today. He is still providing for you and I whatever we need. A couple of things under Jehovah Jireh I want to show you real quickly. That first, He supplies seed to the sower. God supplies the seed to the sower. 2 Corinthians 9 says, "Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Here is the key for provision. It's often wrapped up in our willingness to give. He provides seed to the sower. We have to be willing to sow the seed as God provides it for us. God desires to bless us. God desires to make provision for us. And it means that you and I have to be willing to give away a portion of what God has given to us. We all believe that. He supplies seed. So in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, he says that we are to give unto the Lord as God enables us to do it. God doesn't expect you to give something that you don't have. He just expects you to give a portion of what he enables you to give. So he supplies seed to the sower, and then he supplies all your need. He supplies all your need. Everybody say need. The word supplies in the Greek means to fill to the full. And then the word need means the condition of one deprived of those things which he is scarcely able to do without. We like to think that God provides all of our wants. That's American Christianity. Amen? That God provides everything we want. However, God provides all of our needs. The things that we can't do without, God provides for those things for us. The Bible says that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And that whatever you have need of, God can take care of your need. That he supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? I like how Paul writes to the Philippians, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What I like about this is that God supplies our needs according to his riches and not our riches. Amen? And you know, we would run out pretty quick. But God's supply never runs out. And God makes sure that if we are children of God and we are following him, he takes care of all of our need. Let me give you an example. We lived in South Texas all of our life, and I had this old car. It was a 94 Chrysler New Yorker, and it's what I call my hoopty. Her name was Lucille. It was a big old car, and I'm going to tell you, I love my car. Her name was Lucille, you know? I love Lucille. When I moved up here, I had to get rid of Lucille. I really hated that. But anyway, I'm not going to cry right now, but... Anyway, we had, where am I at now? I had Lucille, and Lucille, the only problem with Lucille was a nice car, leather seats, it was all perfect interior. Everything was great about this car, except for the fact that it had no air conditioning. And when you live in South, you know, up here it's gravy. I can deal with no air conditioning up here. Y'all think it's hot here, wait till you go south. I went 3 summers in Lucille without any air conditioning. Man, I'm telling you, it was hot. So I began to pray, "God, I really would like a Ford F-150. Extended cab. God, that's what I really, you know, forget fixing the air conditioner. This is what I want." Don't we often pray like that? But then guess what happened? God didn't give me a brand new truck, but he did provide the money to get my air conditioner fixed. And see, that's how we confuse what we want with what our needs are. And God says that he will take care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever your need is, God can and will provide it. So it leads us to the next name of God, Jehovah Rapha. Go to Exodus chapter number 15. Everybody still with me this morning? Exodus chapter number 15 in verse number 26. Say amen when you're there. Verse number 26, Exodus 15. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. For I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha means the existing one heals and makes healthful. I believe that he's still Jehovah Rapha. I still believe that He performs miracles. I still believe that He is the healer. I still believe that Jesus Christ is the great physician. Now, I don't understand why sometimes God takes a little while to heal one person and another, and why some get healed instantly. I don't understand all of that, but I know this, that the Word of God says that God is the healer, and that means if He is the healer, that He can heal any disease. And what we find here in the Old Testament, that God was, if they would follow the Lord, they wouldn't put on them any of the diseases of Egypt. I was reading a recent survey by the American Academy of Family Physicians, and here's the statistics that the family doctors of our nation have. That 99% of family doctors today are convinced that religious belief can heal. 75% believe that the prayers of others can help a patient's recovery. And even 38% believe that faith healers can make people well. And I think it's interesting to know that our doctors even believe in the healing power of God. Whether God uses a doctor to heal us or whether God's just supernatural power heals us, God has the ability to heal. And the reason why He has the ability to heal is because He's Jehovah Rapha, and He made a covenant. First one in your handout, He made a covenant for our healing. He made a covenant for our healing. He guaranteed us healing. Isaiah 53 and 4, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. If we translate the verse by looking at the little Hebrew, it would read like this: surely He has taken and carried and taken our sickness and bore the load of our pain and our sorrow. Friends, God was so concerned about healing that He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. Not only for our sins, but for our healing. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, our sicknesses and our pains. And by His stripes, we are healed. That's the covenant that God made with us. As children of God, we have access to this covenant that God is in the miracle-working business and He can heal every infirmity, every sickness, and every disease. And the second part of this is that it's one of our benefits. It's one of our benefits. We live in the land of Walmart, who provides good benefits for their employees. Many of us in the room are provided benefits because of who we work for. We have insurances. We have all these different plans that we have because that's our benefits for working for a certain company. But how many know if we work for the Lord, we have an even greater insurance policy than any man can provide us? Psalm 103, 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. God, the great physician, Jehovah Rapha, gives us as a benefit His healing power. And He says He heals all, everybody say all of our diseases. It means He can heal cancer. It means He can heal AIDS. Can heal leukemia, any sickness, diabetes, whatever it might be, our God is able to heal. And last this morning, we find that God is a source of victory for us. A couple of chapters over to Exodus number 17. Exodus number 17. In verse number 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner, for he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This chapter in Exodus is about a never-ending battle with the enemy of God, Amalek. And the story goes that Joshua was fighting the war against Amalek, fighting in this battle. And as long as Moses was on the mount and lifting up his hands, which is a sign of prayer, a symbol of prayer, lifting up his hands, then Joshua would win. When Moses got tired and began to leave his hands down, all of a sudden Joshua would be beaten back and the army of Israel would become defeated. So Aaron and Hur come alongside of Moses and began to lift up his hands so that they can defeat the Amalekites. And subsequently, God gives them the victory because they helped Moses hold up his hands and Joshua had victory. Amalek was a symbol in the Old Testament of a perpetual enemy of Israel. It's kind of what for you and I, the enemy of our souls, Satan, is this perpetual enemy towards us that we battle with Satan, we battle with the flesh, we battle with temptation, we battle with sin, and that is something that will never go away until we reach heaven. But can I tell you something about this story? When Moses makes an altar here for Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. It's a story of the victory that we have in Christ. And friend, let me just say this, that we surely have victory in Christ. Can I get amen right there? He gives us victory over sin, victory over temptation. And there's a couple things the Word of God tells us about needing this victory. That first, we should never give up. The Bible reminds us to never give up. Galatians 6 and 9. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. That Jehovah Nissi, the God who helps us make it through, reminds us to never give up. Remember reading the story of Smith Wigglesworth? Anybody heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Great healing evangelist in the early 1900s, mid-1900s. And Smith Wigglesworth was such an incredible, powerful man of God. He raised his wife from the dead a couple of times until finally she said, "Just let me go." This man had some power. Through the power of God, he raised the dead. He would heal the sick. He was just a mighty man of God. But what many people don't know about the life of Smith Wigglesworth is that often during his crusades, he would be in the crowd healing sicknesses. While the worship was going on, he was laid down in the back of the stage because he suffered so terribly with kidney stones. He was in immense pain. And so he couldn't make it through a whole service without laying down. And then he would get up in his affliction and go and pray for people to be healed. And they were healed, but yet he was still afflicted. But here's the key of it all. We don't understand that. However, he never gave up. He never began to say, "Well, you know, you healed everybody else, but why won't you heal me, God?" It's questions that we don't always understand, but he served the Lord, he prayed for the sick, they recovered while he still suffered in body. And friend, we can never give up, even if our breakthrough is delayed. We cannot give up on the brink of a miracle. And then, last this morning, he gives us power to gain the victory. God gives us power to gain the victory. Psalm 60 and 4, "But you have raised a banner for those who honor you, a rallying point in the face of attack." God is a God who gives us the power to gain the victory. The Bible says in the book of James, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." The Bible tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And so what that means for us is that God provides the victory for us. Whenever you are beaten down, whenever you are walking in a place where temptation is all around you, whenever you have all these different needs and doubts that are warring in your mind, know that God, Jehovah Nissi, is your protection and your banner. And so the name of the Lord this morning is a strong tower to us. The righteous shall run into it and are saved. And so whatever your need is this morning, Jehovah Jireh is your provider. Jehovah Rapha is your healer. Jehovah Nissi is your banner. Let me close with a short poem real quickly. There once was a poor widow who had little to eat. She could never seem to get back on her feet. She cried out to God, "Please provide me enough." And he showed himself as Jehovah Jireh. There once was a man whose body was racked by disease. He cried out to God, "Won't you help me, please?" It didn't take long until help showed from above. God showed himself as Jehovah Rapha. Then there was a man who could not seem to overcome. Temptation surrounded him, the victory he had not won. When enough was enough, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Then God showed himself as Jehovah Nissi. You can find refuge in the name above all names. Call out to him. You'll never be the same. Let's pray. Father, we call out to you this morning, knowing we can't make it without you. We need you, O God. God, we need your provision. We need your healing. God, we need your protection, victory over sin and temptation. So we ask you this morning, O God, to help us to be reminded of who you are and the name that you have and the power that exudes from that name. Would you move in us, O God? Would you empower us? Would you provide, protect, and heal? In the name of Jesus.